Force on Force features the largest and strongest outdoor military organization in the country. These are the men and women who make it possible to enjoy the freedom to hunt and fish. It is with great pride that we bring you Force on Force podcast, coming to you from the Force on Force talk.
And welcome to the Force on Force podcast. I'm your host, Sean Dalpo. We're in the Force on Force talk. It's been great having you guys along for this journey this year. We took a week off last week. We had a lot of fun. The week before that, we celebrated the month of the military child with having my oldest boy, James, on here to talk a little bit about fishing and being a military dependent. But this week, we're back. We're a really special episode of Force on Force. We're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to introduce you to three of our newest National Pro Staff members and then talk a little bit about Force on Force since all three of these guys are on here. And so it's kind of a big deal. We wrapped up our Central Memorial Tournament last week on Toledo Bend. A lot of fun for everybody who participated. We got another one coming up in April on Kentucky Lake. And so that's a lot of fun. And we just really have been enjoying ourselves, having a little bit of time off from doing some expos. And I really want to welcome our guys here that are on this to kind of talk. We got Rick Bradley, Craig Underwood, and Ty Frederick, who are our latest and greatest new all here to officially announce as National Pro Staff members for the Army Bass Anglers. Two Army guys and a Marine with Craig there. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
So this is the first force. We talked about kind of doing this at the Classic, and we just things happened. Rick wasn't there, and so things, the stars didn't kind of line up. And so to get everybody kind of in one location, we thought, well, why not use the podcast to kind of announce that? And it really kind of fits into what we're right now in week four of Force on Force, Army Bass Anglers, the final preliminary round, which Ty, you're actually in that one, right? This episode, yep. This week. You're going to be out there fishing. Can't tell everybody what's going on, but, Craig's already fished. Rick's already fished. We'll talk a little bit about that and talk about all the fun we had. So we'll start with, Rick, you've been around the organization a long time, and we've kind of toyed around this idea. So great to have you along. What does it mean to kind of get on to be the pro staff and what it means kind of from that perspective?
Well, I was brought into the organization by one of my closest friends, and you know him, Sean, Mike Carroll. So becoming a pro staff member, especially after the passing of Mike, means the world to me. And, I got to share some special moments with Mike. I got to take him out on his last tournament before he passed on Canyon Lake. So that meant the world to me.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, the whole reason we call them, we call them invitational tournaments, but we changed it to memorial tournaments because of Mike Carroll. And you can actually go to the YouTube channel and Force on Force TV YouTube channel and watch the tribute, Army Bass Anglers to Mike Carroll. And it's pretty cool. From his time fishing Force on Force, it was really cool. So I think that's really how you kind of bring that all together, from Rick being around to what we kind of talked about. We fished the memorial tournament last week, and while we talked about it, and having Rick to kind of be the person who kind of was with Mike was kind of cool to bring that perspective in. And then we go to the next level. We got Craig and Ty. So Craig Underwood and Ty, yes, Frederick, both of you guys have worked hard on the task force to kind of come along in the last couple of years. I know Ty, he's got that deep Louisiana accent, so we're going to enjoy talking with him on here. I think the first time I met you, Ty, was you came all the way, other than we're just talking online, but came all the way to the Bassmaster Classic in Knoxville last year. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I first learned about the organization through the Texas Almonds. That's why I saw you guys there for years. Didn't know anybody else in it. End up joining. And like you said, my first event was a Classic. It's just been a great organization. So happy to be a part of it.
And here's what you don't know. Ty can cook. We went down there to the Texas Oilman's Bass Invitational last March, this past month, And Ty had us over to the camp there at Toledo Bend, and he cooked a nice spread the night we we had down there. So it's a lot of fun. And then we got Craig Underwood here. And so interesting story about Craig. So Craig, like Ty, started coming to some, you know, some events. So we got the Memorial Tournament on Kentucky Lake. I got to tell this story to introduce Craig, right? So I always try, and I really like doing this, is I try to like fish with somebody different. Like every time we do one of these, and I try to, I'm really make an effort to not being another pro staff member. I like to be a task force member out there. And so I'm always trying to look for somebody that really needs, you know, really looking for someone to connect with an organization. So there's this guy, Craig Underwood, looking for a partner on Kentucky Lake. And so I told Craig, I just said, hey, if you want to fish with me, I said, I'll fish with you on Kentucky Lake. And he's all excited. And then I said, we'll even go on your boat, man. I'm not picky. And so I had selfish reasons because I had my brand new boat and it was not set up yet. And I was going to jump through hoops to set it up so I could go fish with somebody else. I was perfectly content with sitting around riding. So then he throws me this loophole. He goes, he lets me know. He goes, hey, man, he goes, I'd really appreciate it if you would like take me out on Kentucky Lake and show me how to run this ZXR 20 I got. It's brand new to me. And Kentucky Lake's kind of a big intimidating. And so now I'm like, oh, man, now he's done turn the tables on me.
And not so, to mention there's 3 and 4 footers on Kentucky like that.
Yeah, yeah. Too. Yeah, right. So the day of tournament, the weather turns like crap, and he's already not wanting. He was like, definitely didn't want to do it. So, like, now the pressure's on me. Like, so we get out there, and we had a fun day. But the story is we caught fish. We finished second or third in the tournament. Did really well. Didn't catch him the last hour. Took every bit of running around. But we'll say this. I'm in somebody else's boat, and I have a lot of experience on Kentucky Lake. So I was stationed at Fort Campbell for 4 years. Spent a lot of time on Kentucky Lake, a lot of running around. But we'll just say that there was another manufacturer's electronics on this boat. And the maps got me a little bit jacked up, and I nearly run his boat up on this sandbar that I couldn't, because I couldn't read this map.
Nearly. I think if the waves weren't as big, we would have been stuck on the sandbar. I think the waves kind of took us off the sandbar.
I caught it just barely in time. I'm like, it was all messed up. But so that was Craig and I introduction to each other. And I don't think he had any fear out of how to run his boat after that. I mean, if you can make it through all that and live through it, tell the story, and I'm like, it'll be okay, you know. So I give you a chance to interject there, Craig, and what the organization kind of how you come along and everything like that.
So I joined a little over, I guess, about a year and a half ago, and my first event was with Ty at the Classic. As soon as I walked in, it was like a deer in the headlights with these guys. Met right off the bat, met some of the guys. They were great. They were welcoming. After that, I tried to get into as many shows as I could to hang out with these guys as much as possible because it is like a family. It's what you look for once you get out of the military, that thing that you're missing. It's an amazing organization. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I know. And that's what's really, we get asked a lot when we talk about pro staff, and it's really like, how do you get, it's really the efforts you guys put in there to be on the pro staff that I think is really what a lot of people miss. I mean, you know, you guys come in, work in defensive events, really, you know, catches people's eye, because a lot of people don't understand pro staff is only, you know, what that really means is a lot more work than they realize than it is fishing sometimes. But we do have a lot of fun. I mean, my favorite story is I've never met a Louisiana guy who doesn't know how to handle catfish.
That's right.
Right. That's Ty here, right?
So that's
we're doing everybody knows we do the fish tank for the kids. And I think it's a thing. So with the whole fish tank, you got to have somebody there manning in, helping the kids take it off and everything else. And so Ty is, we think we'll give it to Ty, man. He's a Cajun. He knows what he's doing. So we figured out really, really quick. Ty has not handled a lot of catfish in his days. He goes, and so what did you tell me when I asked you about it? I said, how's a Louisiana guy don't know anything about catfish?
I get put in the catfish tank, and I have near zero experience with catfish. Been fishing my whole life. My dad and I just never fished catfish. We always fished bass or brim or something like that. So I had to learn real quick to be able to handle them without getting stuck. So I was able to survive the 3 days without getting stuck. I got better at it after the first, couple hours.
I think after we figured out he wasn't real good at it, I think we left him there just so we could watch the fun of it at that point, We're like, we're gonna enjoy this and just kind of watch him and see how it goes. So it was a lot of fun watching, and that's kind of the hard work that goes into everything we do, whether it's the classic to any of the events that we do from there. And it's kind of good from there. And Rick's done events along the way because he originally was in Texas, but now he's down in Florida. He had worked with the PBA a couple of weeks ago down there. And so he's doing a lot of stuff with it. And so a lot of cool things going on. But more importantly, you guys, let's talk a little bit about Force on Force. How fun was that this year?
Man, better. The cold front wanted to come through, but it was awesome.
Yeah,
you practice at 70 when you're practicing 30 as soon as you start filming.
Yeah.
Other than having a big old week, it was a good week.
It was a good week. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I didn't feel any stress whatsoever where I was at.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot different fishing in 4 hours instead of 8 in a normal tournament. So, I mean, it definitely changes up your game plan when you're out there, but. And the way you have to think about it, we got to make it to the next round, and it's a challenge. You're freaking out out there on the boat.
I don't think people kind of understand that. Hey, Ty, have you ever fished a 4-hour deal before?
No, sir, I never have.
That's kind of changed the whole situation. Have you ever fished with the cameras like that either, have you?
I've never. No, sir. Telling me, I'm normally a quiet person, so I really had to adjust my way of thinking and just tell myself to keep talking and play the part.
Right. Yeah. And then we for filming purposes, you never know what's going to happen. We throw this whole whatever we want to do to make kind of intensify it, from the very get-go, everybody's kind of seeing now. What do you guys think the flipping contest at the beginning?
I'm glad we had Eric. That's all I got to say is I'm glad we had Eric.
Yeah, because you two guys are on the recipient of your teams being the recipient of that, right? Yeah. Right.
Except he picked the afternoon, which I'm still up in the air about that one. But whatever. It worked out for everybody.
Right. Yeah. Ty, what'd you think about it?
I thought it was awesome. It was a different twist that you guys had never done before. It was different, and it was fun. It really was fun.
Yeah, it was. I think, and just the thought process behind who you guys were going to pick to represent you, because you guys had no idea. Did you guys have any idea what the task was going to be before we kind of went out there?
We didn't, but Eric guessed what it was going to be, and he said probably the best flipper out of all of us. So he kind of thought that's what was going to happen. So
yeah.
But we were scared because you kept talking about those kayaks and how the kayaks are going to be a twist.
Yeah.
The kayaks you brought down. So we thought there was some of the kayaks going
So people know this. So I brought down 4 bona fide kayaks that were actually was taking them over to Panama City with Eric afterwards. But I didn't tell nobody that. So here I roll up in the parking lot with the trailer. With 4 kayaks on it, just has to be what a normal number of filming that we go out would be, perfectly 1 per angler when you send it out for filming, right? So you can see the wheels start turning in their head,
That was going to be kayak racing for sure on the lake.
So we got 4 bona fide kayaks. And so anything's up in the air. I mean, and everybody's always trying to get a competitive advantage out there, and I'm I'm trying to keep you guys kind of guessing to what's going on, because I think that's part of the, you know, this year you guys knew where we were going. We didn't kind of keep it a secret because of the planning that kind of went in to go somewhere different. So we had to kind of think, how do we think outside the box to that? And so Chuck and I and Jared from Deep Fort kind of talked about this and said, okay, we're going to do something. And we had done this on the Buck show the year before, and it worked really, really well, you know. And it's like, we're going to start off with a competition before anything gets going. And I think that really gets you guys taken off guard. Gets you taken by, you know, surprise at the beginning. Because, I mean, and I forgot, all three of you guys were actually all on the same side of that, getting to choose how you fish, because you all were on the same deal. And so it's just
I think the trash talking starts too. I mean, you know, from the day one of the competition and the flipping, and then going into the actual competition on the water, the trash talking takes on a whole new level.
Yeah, it does. It does. Cause, you know, I think that was kind of cool, you know, to watch. It was almost like basketball free throws. You guys are right there behind the ammo cans, right? You know, and it's like getting it going. And then, like, so Eric hits two out of five, I guess, two or three out of five. And so that automatically, because he went first, I mean, that puts the pressure, you know, on Daniel to have to be like, you know, how do we match that, you know?
Plus, we're standing behind him, just giving it to him the whole time behind the ammo can.
Exactly.
I mean, and there was a twist. I mean, you're used to flipping off the deck of the boat on the water, not 4 feet in the air off the deck of the boat into an ammo can.
Yeah. And that throws a little bit to it. There's a couple of things to that. I've always said this. So, like, if you ever try to flip off a deck of boat, or you try to flip, you know, and then try to flip on the flat ground, you have a whole issue with that, because on a boat, you're elevated a little bit. So you typically, when you try and flip on something like that, you'll hit the ground or something if you're doing it right. And so we kind of use the boat, but it's actually a lot higher than you're used to being on the water. So there's really no way to do it. But, you know, putting you on the boat, I think it does one thing. It kind of narrowed it down to where you couldn't move one way or the other.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like you're out there actually kind of walking the plank out there on that front of that Skeeter bass boat out there. And it's like, hey, how do we get you out there and get you in a little bit uncomfortable? And so I think that the real question is, you know, then we'll see as it goes on. We know how that competition kind of took place, how much it did kind of play into the factor, because we won't really see that until it gets through the latter part of the rounds of force on force to kind of do that. I know Ty and Craig, you guys kind of can't talk so much because your episode is actually airing this week.
Yes. You know,
that's right.
Anticipation is killing us.
You know, you guys' big moment is airing this week. And so you guys can kind of say what happened, where, you know, Rick's already made it through the preliminary rounds and see which one of you guys kind of go on to the semi-final rounds. Rick's already there, you know, with his partner, Matt. And so, you know, you guys are just kind of like, well, you know, are we going to, you know, so what's going to happen from that is kind of, a fun deal to kind of think about and anticipation and kind of do all that. I think, was there anything else that kind of surprised you, Ty, when you came to the show?
It was a good time. So not only are Craig and I going against each other, we were also roommates. So we're always going at each other anyway. So it is very intensified. Big time. Like, after we found
out, he's a great roommate. He doesn't talk hardly at all in the room at all.
Right. So it was it was fun to watch all you guys do that. I know I still got to drop the video of, were you guys there when the Florida ski team truck got stuck down there?
Yeah.
We're going to drop
the best.
That was the craziest video I've ever seen, I think, in my life. I mean, it was insane.
I mean, we could have stopped them at any moment, but I'm just telling you, my curiosity to watch it happen got the betterment of me. I'm like, I just gotta, you know, it's one of these things, I gotta watch it. Even though I was concerned at where they were gonna, where it was gonna happen at, it was gonna cause problems for us if we couldn't get that truck out for filming purposes, because where they pulled that truck was right there where we were pulling the boats up filming. But I'm like, God, we can't stop this, just let it go. And then Andy gets down there and starts talking to him, interviewing. And when he says, when we drop this, you, everybody will know it, me, when he goes, well, did you ever think about pulling down the concrete ramp over there? It was priceless. That was the best. That was the best part of it, you know, and it was a good time. Craig, had you ever fished that color water?
No, no. I've always, you know, fished Tennessee waters. That getting out there and how stained that water was, it was a totally different animal. But I'll tell you what, getting that boat, that skeeter into those cypress trees, when you're, you know, 15, 20 yards into the cypress thickets and flipping, it's really cool. I mean, I had to sit back and take some pictures, because that was probably the coolest experience I've had on the water is that lake.
So it's funny that you call it dirty water. I actually call that clear water. So that's actually tannic water. Yeah. So true story, like Fort Bragg, North Carolina, you know, I was fishing. We had a very large bass club up there, the Carolina Bassers. We'd have a tournament. We'd have 40 or 50 boats in a tournament. I mean, that's a large club. And I always tell people, you never realize like how blessed you are to get to travel around because of the military and fish and hunt, the different places that I've got to do. And so one of the places I got to travel to and fish was the Roanoke River on the Albemarle Sound. And being, I've never fished anywhere really the Tennessee River, and then got a little bit experience with Highland Reservoirs, fishing like Harris and Falls Lake and Jordan. We're going to go to, you know, the Roanoke River down there. And so everybody tells me, you know, and believe it or not, man, the Roanoke River used to be phenomenal till, I think, I want to say late 90s, they had a hurricane come through there and blew it out. I mean, it would take 25 fish that went 25 pounds consistently to win. And you, on a river, everybody knows that's phenomenal on any kind of river type system, right? And so what they remember telling me was, go till you see the tonic water, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? Or tannic water. And I remember someone's described it to me. It's like a cherry Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget this to the day in my life. I was running back up this finger of this creek, and all this, I mean, it was just almost like a distinct line where the muddy water and that tannic water would not mix. And as soon as it crossed, you could see it. And I was like, that's what they're talking about. And as soon as you crossed it and I started fishing, I started catching fish, and I learned that it looks that way, but when you really get to looking at it, it's actually pretty clear water when you look. It's just because the way, if you've never seen it, it kind of over intimidates you in the first little bit. And so you see a lot more of it in Florida. You really see it a lot in tidal systems, really. I know, Ty, have you fished the Sabine River a lot?
I haven't fished it, but I've marshaled two tournaments.
Does it have kind of that same, like when they fish at some of that same characteristics down there towards?
It's tidal, but it's not extreme like California or something like that.
Well, the Roanoke wasn't either, but like the color of the water, did it affect it? Was it really like, did you deal with that tannic water a lot, or was it just really, or was that, no, that tannic?
It didn't change it very much, no.
See, so that was a new experience for you, that tannic water too in Florida. Right. Yeah, see that. So if you never, I just say that to the listeners, Craig, because if you never experienced it, it may look dirty to you. But Rick, you've fished down there a lot. You know that that's what you're looking for.
Yep, that's beautiful water and the cypress trees. That was one of the most beautiful lakes I've been on in Florida, and I fished almost all of them. And, you know, Lake Santa Fe with the cypress trees and all that grass, which hadn't come up yet. I mean, if we would have had that cold front miss us, it had a warm front, it would have been on like Donkey Kong. It was great.
They said the week before it was phenomenal out there. And so that's what you get when you travel to somewhere like that. The intimidation. I think you did a great job kind of explaining that, Craig. Like, I've never been to any place like that. They'd be like, and I just try to put it into perspective of everybody else that's when you've never kind of experienced it. And I take it for granted because 22 years in active duty, I've seen every type of color. Like, I hear all people all the time, because I went to, up there, I know you spend a lot of Tim's Ford, right? I know a lot of people that Tennessee River guys that go to Tim's Ford and they freak out because it's clear water, and I'm like, or Smith Lake, and I'm like, oh man, I've been to Table Rock, places like that. And then you really go up, like going up to New York and places like that, and you see that really clear water up there. I'm like, I go to Tim's Ford and I don't freak out. It doesn't bother me at all. Nope. That's not really clear water, right? And so from the perspective of that, so I think that's the story that sometimes I don't think that I try to tell a lot of, but I don't think is an organization that we don't talk about from a perspective of our military career, of the different part of the countries that you get stationed in different places. And if you get to fish or hunt or whatever in those different places, that experience that you get to kind of grab a knowledge, where I always say, like, if I didn't get to experience that, you never would get to travel to go out and kind of experience those different types of body. Most people are going to fish within a 3-hour radius of their house, and you're only going to, you may never get to experience, that type of fishing. So I think it's kind of put it into perspective of, man, we go to a new lake and it's like, oh man, so it's really cool. That's like going to Toledo Bend or you go down there for the first time. I mean, Ty, that's for the listeners, like, how intimidating is a place like Toledo Bend if you have never been on it?
Oh, it's very intimidating. If you almost have to just pick a creek and learn it. Because if you try to expand much more than that, it just becomes overwhelming. I mean, one creek in Toledo Bend is as big as most people's lakes. Right. It's 90,000 acres, 90 miles long. So, like I said, if you pick a creek and just try to expand on that creek itself.
And then you throw in the difficulty of navigating it down there.
Yeah.
It's like, I never get, we showed up, me and Jeff Campbell did down there, and I was so glad he was driving the boat and not me, because that place is, I tell people, it's like watching the downhill slalom in the Winter Olympics with the guys, coming down the hill on their skis, you're trying to hit those poles, because that's about how close you're trying to stay to those poles there and those boat lanes, because you ain't got much room, margin of error on there. And so from an intimidation factor, to be able to do that is go to different places can be kind of overwhelming sometimes. And I think that, we're in different parts of the country. That's why I think all you guys kind of bring it with Rick's and, Rick's in Florida, Craig's in Tennessee, and Ty's there in Louisiana, and really in three really good parts of the country fishing wise, I would tell you. And so that's what's really cool about having these new pro staff guys that are part of the organization. I know that you guys are all looking forward to big things to come and seeing how it goes. I know Craig took one for the team on Force. It's not kind of a secret because we kind of did a teaser video about it. I mean, you took one to the ear.
I did.
With a shaky head.
It was a Ned rig, and I had a Ned rig on my boat. I found it the other day, and I had to just throw it off the boat. I can't even stand to look at a Ned rig right now.
So what happens, you said 4 hours, you got to kind of deal with it and go. So it's a lot of fun. I think, anything else, you guys want to add? Ricky, you got anything that you think you're excited to be here? I know you're working on doing some marketing stuff with us and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Craig and Ty would agree that having a cameraman and fishing out the front of a deck with two guys and having the time not on your side while you're out there on the water, I mean, you don't think about it, and that one hook that hits poor Craig in the ear, and in any other tournament, any other fishing time, that would have never happened, right? Because he would have been on the back of the boat. But having that cameraman there changes everything. And I'm excited to see the upcoming episode between Ty and Craig and see how it pans out. And I'm excited to be here, bringing on new sponsors, excited about the next season of Force on Force. I think it's going to be exciting and we'll see what happens, but really looking forward to being here and traveling around the country, being in the Army for 10 years, growing up in the Northeast and getting to go to Texas and then Florida and then all the other tournaments I get to do, the ABA military team tournament in South Carolina, our memorial tournaments in Gunnersville and around the country. It's just exciting to learn the bodies of water.
Craig?
Yes, sir.
You got anything to add? I know you're always full of things.
I guess I'm the jokester of the group most of the time. But no, I mean, Force on Force is amazing. I remember we were standing there and you tapped me on my shoulder and you were like, "Hey, are you nervous?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" You said, "Well, Archer's sitting right between your legs. That's why I know you're nervous." So it was a totally different experience. It totally changes the dynamic with with what Rick was saying with the cameraman in the back. I mean, it was exciting. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in the future. And, this group is just an amazing group of guys. I've made great friends out of here. So I'm just, looking towards the future and ready to roll.
And what about you, Ty? You got any final thoughts on being a pro staff at Force on Force?
Yeah, fresh off this second place finish at the Memorial, like you talked about, Toledo Bend can show its teeth. The wind came up. Wasn't able to go to my best stuff, but that's just how fishing is. I just want to say something about the Deep Fork guys, man. They were such a good group of guys. They did such a good job. It was great being in a boat with them. It's very exciting to be part of the pro staff. Look forward to big and better things the rest of the year. Also finishing Veterans Tournament in September. I really enjoyed that last year. Looking forward to that this year.
Yeah, so we are really excited to have you guys on and you guys, we kind of wind this thing up. I know we got a lot of going on. It's awesome to have you guys as part of the National Pro Staff game, team. And then especially you guys involvement with this past Force on Force. And this is kind of new for us to kind of do this on a podcast to kind of introduce you guys, I think. But as we move forward, we're looking at the month of May. We got the Memorial Tournament coming up on Kentucky Lake, May 11th. And then I will actually have, towards the end of May, we have to have the West Point Cadets coming down to do the National Championship. So that's always a fun time. And then we'll end up with the Skeeters Owners Tournament the 1st of June. But not to belay what Ty said, mind everybody that we do have the Fishing for Freedom event that's going to take place in September. And that's always a fun deal. And we, Army Bass Owners Foundation is actively up doing all kind of cool stuff with that. We had a great time with that. That's going to be two episodes of Force on Force the previous season. So that fits right into what we're talking about here today. Hey, if everybody out there listening wants to know more about Army Bass Anglers, buck hunters, duck hunters, hog hunters, or redfish, go to ForceOnForceTV.com and we appreciate you listening. Cool?
Thanks for listening to the Force on Force podcast. Join us next time as we dive into more topics from the Force on Force talk. For more information or to learn how to join the organization, visit our website at ForceOnForceTV.com.